It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Johnny Hill producing, as always, on this Wednesday afternoon. We're Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours. And plenty of news, plenty of things to get to today. We'll try to cover as much of it as we can. We had a big trade in the NFL this morning. We talked a lot yesterday about Ryan Silverfield's new contract, but we have more information about that. The details have come out. Jonah Dillon doing a great job reporting on that story earlier this afternoon. We also have breaking news with Ja Morant that has just come out within the last hour. Not much information on that, but a lot to get to. Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing well. Two baseball games already postponed for tonight, and already two finals. Cardinals getting ready to get going. And with a Cardinal win would top last year's high water mark of over 500.
Yeah.
It won over 500.
Another good win for them last night. And, a lot of day baseball today, afternoon baseball. But you're right. Weather playing a big factor today. I believe two games postponed, and then Royals and Orioles was in a delay. I don't have an update on that, but it was certainly backed up a little bit because of weather. So weather playing a big role in Major League Baseball this afternoon.
Reds, Phillies as well. It looked cold at some places yesterday and last night. And there were a couple games going that I couldn't believe hadn't been stopped. Not the problem for the Cardinals out in San Diego, though.
Yeah, no, it's sunny San Diego, and you know they got to wrap that up this afternoon and get back home to host the Marlins starting tomorrow. So,
best or worst local weather job in the country in San Diego? Is it the best or the worst?
Best. Why not? I mean, San Diego.
Yeah, but
not?
you don't get to play with all your toys, your five live Dopplers, and
Brett, you
and
find
the windshield toy.
You find a way to play with the
toys. Oh,
you
do.
I
mean,
here's the thing.
How do you scare your public with we're getting ready to get hit by the big one, bridges and overpasses.
But maybe you don't.
Think of all the things.
How nice would it be, though? I mean, if we want to admit it or not, we have all had that moment, probably. Some people weekly, some people monthly, some people yearly. Like weather people, they don't know what they're talking about. They never
know what
they're
talking
about. When you're in San Diego, you can just say, sunny, beautiful day outside in San Diego.
Copy and paste.
Sounds like an easy job to me. I mean, it sounds like a good weather person job to have.
All right, so you know about programming shows. You had never done TV, but you know about you do 3 hours every day on this show. You do 2 hours every day with John. A lot of other hours, other places of scheduling. And you're like, so let's say that 30-minute. I don't even know what time. Do they have 6 o'clock news on the West Coast?
Yeah,
I don't know. Do you realize we're the only people in the Central Time Zone that do the 10 o'clock news. Even on the left coast, they do the 11 o'clock news.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And you know, East Coast, of course they do. You know, that's when they go to five live Dopplers there and all the theatrics. So if you're programming that 30-minute, let's say 6 o'clock news, if they do that, how much time would you give the weather in San Diego?
That's a good question. Well, that's a good point because, I mean, in a place like San Diego – you probably don't get as much time, and that's probably not great when you're the weatherman or the weatherwoman.
30 seconds?
I mean, it's got to be pretty quick. I mean, you're not talking about any big torrential
Not the 19
course.
Minutes they get here, kid.
It's probably much shorter, much shorter. I don't think they get as much.
Same as yesterday. Back to you, Bob.
That's right. That's sunny as always.
Shouldn't that catch it?
I mean, that seems about it.
Let's go to the next red NORAD Save Our Lives Weather Center. Joe, what do you got? Nothing. Same as yesterday.
Same. Copy and paste from yesterday and send it back.
Proceed with the next story.
Sounds like good job to me. I don't know. I'd take it.
Really would be. Yeah. So I wonder if local sports gets more time because of it.
Good question. I don't know. Certainly.
And just one major league team in San Diego, the Padres.
That's a good point. But certainly right now, this time, plenty to talk about with the Padres with the season starting. So,
yeah.
You know, hey, you never know. Maybe. I don't know.
I'll feel really good about a Cardinal 4-3 start. Won't feel that bad about 3-4.
Oh, no. I think it's been with who they've had to play these first two series, Padres, good team, but then also you have to start the season against the Dodgers. I mean, that's like the worst case scenario to start a season against.
But as I said, at least it's over with.
That's right. And I thought
next time go back to LA will be for the NLCS.
That's right. And so you're competitive against the Dodgers. Now you're looking really good against San Diego. So yeah, I mean, I think you're either way. I'm happy with what happens this afternoon, and then come home and against a Marlins team that is really struggling and was down big, I think 8-2 last time I saw earlier this afternoon when I was watching it, to the Angels. So, a really struggling Marlins team coming into St. Louis. It should be a fun weekend.
Rangers already defeated the Rays 4-1, Angels 10-2 over the Marlins.
Wow, holy cow.
That's final. Zero up, seven down for the Marlins.
Yeah, it's been a rough start. See, I don't think many people
took a while
this.
For water to find its level with Skippy Schumacher, but he's finding it.
Man, that is that's tough. I really do hate that for them.
That is tough. Twinks on top of the Brewers. Brewers trying to stay undefeated, but they trail 6-3 in top of the ninth.
Wow, that's been a big comeback. I think it was when I turned on, I think 2-0 and then 3-0.
Twinks got five in the top of the seven.
Holy cow. Wow. Interesting. A lot of baseball, a lot of noon starts today. Like you mentioned, Cardinals and a handful of other teams about to go here at 3 o'clock. So it's one of those days, not a lot of night baseball tonight.
No, it's not. But everybody was scheduled to go today, but we've already had a lot of rainouts and a couple finals into the night. The Grizzlies next to the last roadie of the year.
That's right, and they'll go tonight against the Bucks, and a Bucks team that coming off a loss against the Wizards. Which,
going for the sweep of the Bucks.
That's a great point. I completely forgot about that.
Win of the year.
That's right.
The Bucks. That was fun atmosphere this year.
It was.
Far as bad as this year's been, there are many things to have hope for.
Certainly. There's been
biggest, almost impossible to be this unlucky again with injury next year.
You would hope.
Oh, man. I wish I'd have never said that.
Oh, man. You would hope. But, I mean, I think that what you've gotten out of Vince and Gigi has been big. And there have been some fun moments like,
You have four stars on opening day of training camp. Jod Jaren, Bain, Smart. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know you have a solid coach.
Yeah.
You know you have fans that have finally gotten either Ja mania or Grizzlies mania.
Mm-hmm.
These crowds have held up all year through this. Yeah, I know in this last stretch there have been some lesser crowds. I went to the Charlotte game. It was lean. It was Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just announced their coach is not back next year.
Yeah.
But, it was Charlotte on the 13th of March. I don't know what crowds are going to be like. I know it probably won't be great Friday night against Detroit. I don't know what it'll be like the rest of the year. It won't be like that the next time for the Lakers like it was last time. But still some things to be happy about. I've hit on it a couple times, and I'm not going to let go of it. 17-22 this year on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Two left. Let's say they split. Let's say they don't. Let's say it's 17-24.
All right.
You give me 17-24 next year on the road and come back healthy and give me a 32-9 at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's 49 wins. That's one shy of a really big number in the NBA.
Sure. Well, and that's kind of the big thing with these young guys, specifically Vince and Gigi and maybe a couple other guys that you're going to lean on as rotation pieces next year and in the future. I mean, it's hard to win on the road in the NBA, and they're already learning how to win on the road. And so to be able to get that this season, when you're healthy next year, you're going to improve on that. And so you're right. I think that is massive going into next year.
What's the player that doesn't return next year? And I'm not, it won't be a star.
Sure.
It could be, but I don't think it will be. But just among kind of Grizz fam, those lovable players that they fall so hard for, mm-hmm. that will cause the most outrage of they cut loose of fill in the blank.
Oh, geez. I don't know.
Kennard, Laravia, Zaire.
I mean, honestly, I've seen too much of people wanting to get Conchar. Rid of those guys. So, I mean, I don't, maybe not as
you have?
Kennard. Yeah, I mean, but those other guys, I don't think anybody.
There's nobody out there fighting for Conchar anymore?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think so, Brent.
Really?
Yeah.
It might be over.
I think Conchar is just out there to a lot of people.
Yeah, he is.
So, I don't know.
Is that right? What's happened to people? That was the original, my original love for him.
I mean,
people fighting over him like
your,
he was
leave your jersey
Julius Erving.
Yeah. Leave your jersey in the closet, Brett.
I know. What will I do with it?
I think if I had to pick one, it'd probably be Kennard. But no, I really don't think anybody is too tied to any of those guys on this roster right now. I mean,
ready for separation from them?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'd say ready for separation. Some of them. I mean, Jake Laravia, I think some people are ready to be done with that.
The first time I kind of got on this tangent, mm-hmm. was when they were wanting to move on from Dante Cunningham, mm. and there was outrage.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there will be some people that, you know, if and when they part ways with one of these guys, you know, they're outraged by it. But I don't think it's going to be the majority of people. But yeah,
That's good.
No, that is good. That's great. And then speaking of the Grizzlies, breaking news. About an hour ago, Woj tweeted it out. Ja Morant and his longtime agent Jim Tanner have parted ways. Sources tell ESPN Tanner has represented Morant since coming out of Murray State as the number 2 overall prospect in the 2019 NBA draft. No real information about why it happened, how it happened, any of that. But it is notable that that Ja Morant will be looking to get another agent.
For $1,000 with 1,000 guesses, could you have guessed Jim Tanner was the representative of Ja Morant? Nor could I.
No. I would have
10,000, yeah, 100,000.
I say you could put all.
I would have said Ray Tanner,
yeah,
former member of Congress Ray Tanner,
was
his agent, yeah. Before I would have Jim Tanner. No. What if they're any kin? They were kind of up there near the Tennessee Kentucky state line.
Maybe, who knows?
I don't know. Oh, Jimmy Tanner. Well, hate it for him.
Yeah. Hate it for him, but
3% of that big pile of cash.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about Jim Tanner. I don't know if he represents any other NBA guys.
I don't either.
Guys,
I don't know one thing.
He could
walk in the studio right now, and I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know him, but interesting news there, nonetheless. We talked yesterday about the Ryan Silverfield new contract, and didn't have much information about it. Didn't really know any of the details. But Jonah Dillon earlier today reporting for the Commercial Appeal had more information on Ryan Silverfield's contract. Here are some of the nuggets from it. If the Tigers win 9 or more regular season games in any season during the contract, Silverfield will get a $100,000 raise and have the deal extended for one season.
Take it to the bank next year.
I love it. And take that to the bank, but certainly take this to the bank. If Memphis wins 10 regular season games and goes to the conference championship game, he'll get a $250,000 raise and two more years on his deal. Now, the 1 year for 9 wins, that can continue every time he wins 9 games. That 10 game is only a one-time thing. So if he goes out and wins 10 games this upcoming season, they add 2 years. If he returns and goes out and wins 10 more games that next year, 2 more years will not be added. Again, that's only a one-time thing. But interesting, also, his assistant salary pool grows. It was $3 million on his last deal, now $4.15 million, which is
in the building,
huge.
That's the biggest part of this contract that I've heard so far.
Yeah, no, that is huge. And to get those assistants, get those guys around him, that is definitely big. And to be that much is certainly big. It will also be raised $100,000 each season. So another big nugget there that will increase. increase as long as he's the head coach. We talked buyout yesterday. If Silverfield leaves for another job on or before December 31st, 2024, he would owe Memphis $1.5 million.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. That decreases to $1 million after December 31st, 2025, $750,000, December 31st, 2026, and $500,000 after or on December 31st, 2027.
That's great reporting. I love everything I'm hearing.
No, it sounds like a great
deal.
Good
job, John.
All around. And, you know.
Great job.
It's certainly those details are important, but I love this on all accounts.
Coaching carousel next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'll move it up. If you kind of know you need to make a change, but your potential pool of coaches, because remember, we're going to have 12 teams in the playoffs.
Right.
I'm going to say of those 12 teams, you're going to have at least two or three in that most years that might be looking to parlay that into something else.
Mm-hmm.
That could be Ryan Silverfield.
Sure.
That could be people coming after Lane Kiffin. That could be people coming after Eli Drinkwitz. That could be people coming after potentially NC State, and they are the ACC rep, things like that.
Sure.
Well, if you're in the playoffs this coming year, they don't start until that weekend of the 21st. One game on Friday the 20th, and the other games on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
No coach is going to leave that place during that.
Yeah, no.
They may tell them, hey, if I lose, I'll take,
right.
Tell their agent to tell them that. If I lose, I'll be a little more interested. But right now, I got a team to coach.
Mm-hmm.
If you win that weekend and then you're in the Elite Eight that will be played around, incorporated into the bowls around New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, nobody's going to wait that long for you.
Mm-mm. No, because I mean, you gotta go out there and start
portal and signing date.
Exactly, and so that's a really good point. So it could be a weird coaching carousel season next year in college football. I haven't even really thought about that.
And nobody's going to be that willing to wait.
No.
So, they may not want to be stuck with who they had,
sure.
But they may not be able to wait on one of those playoff coaches.
Right.
And I bring it up about Ryan Silverfield, but also. You know, a lot, you know, Florida's just convinced if they move on from Billy Napier, they'll get Lane Kiffin. Just first offer, they'll get him. He's not leaving in the middle of the playoffs, and he's sure not leaving if he's advancing and they're not waiting.
No. I mean, that's just silly. So it's going to be,
you don't scale Mount Everest and get about a mile from the top and go, nope. I've gone far enough. Yeah. I'm not going all the way. I'm taking the Florida job. Nobody does that.
No. I mean, that'd be like,
You get beat that first weekend.
Sure.
Then that next week is a lot of angst for a lot of people.
That'd be like Nate Oates, in the middle of this tournament run, being like,
great
oh,
point.
Louisville's open. Louisville
that's
wants
it.
Me. I'll go coach Louisville. I mean, that's crazy. That would never happen.
That's it.
So that is interesting.
Center of the bullseye.
Yeah, so that's very interesting and definitely something to keep an eye on as college football continues to evolve and change. But a lot to get to today. We got some great guests set up as well. So let me set up today's show before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, Pat Smith from Jocks in
Pat
Birmingham.
Smith 2 weeks in a row and it's not football season?
It's not football season, Brett. And last week
is that allowed?
Well, last week I think we went over our 7% of basketball talk with him. No promises that we don't go over it
right.
Again today. But with what Alabama's doing in college basketball, you got to talk Bama hoops, and nobody better to talk them with than Pat Smith. So we'll do that in the next segment at 3:30. 3:45, Grizzlies, they're back in action tonight against the Bucks. We'll talk a little bit about that as the season continues to wind down for the Grizzlies. 4 o'clock, Blake Lovell from Southeastern 14. He'll join us, talk college basketball. A lot of talk on the Alabama-UConn game with Alabama, the lone SEC team standing. But we'll also talk the offseason for the SEC, what this transfer portal looks like, coaching, all of that stuff with Blake Lovell at 4 o'clock. 4:30, we'll talk baseball. A lot of early games today as series are starting tomorrow or travel days tomorrow. We're getting a lot of afternoon games, midday games today. So we'll have a ton of finals at 4:30 when we talk baseball. 4:45, we get to big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Kevin Sweeney will join us, talk more college basketball. A lot to get with him as well with the Final Four set. Those games will be Saturday evening. 5:30, we'll get to what's trending. At 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Taco Bell Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure studios where family and fun come together. Get over to Family Leisure for factory direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, and patio furniture. It's patio season. Come by Family Leisure and check out the new 2024 patio furniture sets. Pool season will be here before we know it. Buy now and get in line for your pool installation and get pre-season pricing. Save $1,000 to $5,000 on all spas and swim spas. Also, special pricing on all in-stock saunas, theater seating, pool tables, and outdoor kitchens. Only at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
Produced by Bracket Champion Johnny Hill. Yeah. This is Sports Time. We're with you until 6 o'clock. We want you to be a part of it at 901-360-8255. That's the Sissy's Log Cabin text line, phone line, and all our guests will appear on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line at 901-360-8255. This hour of our show brought to you every day by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2024 models and always special leasing options. Driving luxury and confidence, knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. Call them at 901-334-9673, but stop by the one and only Lexus dealership in town at 2600 Ridgeway and put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2024 flagship LS500. You'll be looking, you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day. We talked about it already, but the details of Ryan Silverfield's contract have come out again. Shout out to Jonah Dillon doing a great job at the commercial appeal, getting all of these details from the contract. But ultimately, I think it's a win-win for both sides. Obviously, Ryan Silverfield gets that kind of promise from the university that they're all in on him with this extension and with all of the excitement around this program going into next year. After what he did last season, a really good season capped off with a Liberty Bowl victory over Iowa State. To parlay that into, it was a great season. To parlay that into this new contract is definitely huge, but also for him to be able to get these raises and these incentives on 9-win season, 10-win seasons, but then also for the university to have a buyout in there if Ryan Silverfield has another really good year, if he wins the conference championship and goes to the college football playoffs, which a lot of people think could be the case this year. That's kind of what a lot of people are hoping for the Tigers this year, that if he does do that and ends up leaving for another job, that $1.5 million, I think, is huge to get that. Also, Brett, you pointed this out, that this is really big, but the assistant pool, that money going up so that Ryan Silverfield can continue to go out.
Security and bring for his assistants.
Security and to go out and bring in these high-level assistant coaches to make this team better and also, you know, give them that stability to be at a program like Memphis. So I think, overall, a complete win-win for both Ryan Silverfield and for the Tiger football program, and I think just builds the excitement for what next season could be.
My top story, also area coaching news. It sounds like Eric Musselman will take the USC job. Arkansas losing a coach to USC and the Big Ten. I don't ever remember that happening. Mm. And most think Arkansas will center on Chris Beard, who's now at Ole Miss. Arkansas almost hired Tommy Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, back in the day in 1997 to be football coach. He didn't. He stayed at Ole Miss. He said, on these airwaves, he said, I'm a rebel for one more year. And then he was at Auburn. Ole Miss did hire Houston Nutt after he was fired at Arkansas in November of 2007. And it enraged Arkansas fans that he had the nerve to take a job after they fired him and go to Ole Miss. Still, I hadn't figured that one out yet. I mean, absolutely enraged. And Arkansas was trying to get Lane Kiffin when Ole Miss got him. And now in basketball, first time I ever remember kind of crossing swords in basketball for these two. So we will see if Chris Beard stays at Ole Miss or if Eric Musselman stays at Arkansas. It sure doesn't sound like he will. The last time Arkansas had a basketball coach leave for another job, not being fired or retiring, was, I don't really remember retirement, was Eddie Sutton when he famously said he would crawl to Kentucky. The last time in football for not being fired or retired, and I don't remember a retired, well, Coach Broyles, was Ken Hatfield leaving for Clemson. It's rare for Arkansas to lose a coach if they want to keep him.
It sure is.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day, it's the big news out of the NFL. The Bills trade Stephon Diggs to the Texans for a 2025 second round pick, a 2024 sixth round pick, and a 2025 fifth round pick. Again, I said thought it was a win-win on the contract for Ryan Surf. I think this is probably a win-win for both sides when it comes to the Bills and the Texans. For the Texans, last year with C.J. Stroud at quarterback in year one, I don't think anybody expected them to do what they did last year with D'Amico Ryans as a first-year head coach, but they go out there and surprise everyone, and really the story of the season, or one of the stories of the season in the NFL last year, and now you give him a surefire number one receiver in Stephon Diggs. And for the Bills, it really sounds like, and I'm sure we'll get more and more stories, but you saw the kind of drama with Stephon Diggs and that organization over the last couple of years. And I was reading some stuff earlier today that sounds like a lot of those players, some maybe even key players, were kind of tired of the drama and tired of Stephon
Diggs. And he had the drop in the playoffs.
He did. And so I think for the Bills, you know, they kind of plateaued. It feels like the past two or three years we've been talking about this could be the year the Bills get through and make it to the Super Bowl, and they haven't been able to. So maybe a change to that starting lineup maybe might not be the worst of things. So I think could be a win-win for both sides.
My not top story, you see stadium funding issues really a lot of places, always always in the Bay Area, in Oakland with what to do with the A's. Are they going to Sacramento? Will they play a split season in Salt Lake City? When will they finally get to Vegas, and what Vegas has got on the books for them potentially at some point? In the county that in Kansas City yesterday, the voters, by a vote, referendum, they voted down tax increases that would have led to a new Royal Stadium downtown and a lot of improvements, basically a rebuild of Arrowhead Stadium. Not exactly apples to apples for what we have here with stadium issue, because it's no vote and it's no tax increase. This is government surplus. The state of Tennessee doing so well, and after spending on the Titans, committing to the Titans, West Tennessee, Shelby County, Memphis said, hey, what about us? And that's what the Grizzlies and Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium are getting in line over. You can have that whole debate about if there's a government surplus, why don't we get a refund check? But instead, they see the best use of that money, instead of cutting a refund check to everybody that pays state, well, there's no state income tax in Tennessee. No, there's no state income tax in Tennessee. There's federal tax everywhere. No state income tax. But instead of doing that, they think they can make more money by spending it on this, and I think they can too. You can have that debate all you want. I don't know what a referendum, how that vote would have looked here locally. It's hard to win those, whether it's a school millage or an eighth of a cent or 3/8 of a cent, whatever it is. Most people don't want to just voluntarily raise their taxes on themselves. So it's not exactly the same situation as in Kansas City.
No, it's not. But hopefully they get it all figured out, and we can see those upgrades coming soon here in Memphis. But that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's go ahead and get to a break. And when we come back, we're talking Alabama with Pat Smith from Job.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and joining us now from Jocks down in Birmingham, Pat Smith joins us now on the Sissy's Log Cabin phone line. Pat, thanks so much for joining us. And here they are, Alabama in the Final Four. Last week when we talked to you, they had to get past North Carolina. After that, they had to get through Clemson. What has this week been like at Jocks with the reaction to Alabama making it to the Final Four?
Well, we know what the rest of college football felt like all those years when Alabama was like a 20, 30-point favorite over someone. And you would have people on the show, and they'd say, well, you know, if Alabama got to the fourth quarter and this team is one score down, Alabama's never played a close game, so just maybe they won't know how to react. Well, basically that's the conversation we're having this week, which is UConn is such a machine, and they're a 12-point favorite over Alabama. Bama fans are saying, hey, maybe we can get to the under four timeout in the second half, and maybe we can be within striking distance. That's the kind of conversation we're having. So, Brett, we knew what these football fans over the years have been feeling like with the Nick Saban machine.
Well, welcome to the rest of our world. I remember 2017 with little Shea Patterson at quarterback for Ole Miss, and it was 66-3. And our post game play of the game was the field goal we made for Ole Miss against Alabama, and that's what it feels like, a tall mountain. But let's talk about the fun, Pat. I've imagined, of course, kind of in this scenario. If this person doesn't exist, but if they did, they would have more things to worry about than maybe talk radio. But just imagine the person that may have had that health issue, that accident around January 8th, and they came to this week, and Nick Saban's retired and Alabama's in the Final Four in basketball. When they turn on Jocks, they got to be thinking, what in the world's happened to my life? Why I've been incapacitated?
Oh, there is no doubt about it. I mean, they would be absolutely going, excuse me, what has just happened here with Nick Saban retiring and Nate Oates now taking the team to the Final Four? Now, it has been crazy. It's very interesting because earlier this week, we asked a poll question to our listeners. We're kind of infamous for these crazy pondering type questions.
Pat Ponders, hashtag.
Yeah, that's right, hashtag Pat Ponders. So the thing of it is that with an Alabama fan, and we always had over 1,000 people vote on this. If you're an Alabama fan, would you bypass or sacrifice three football seasons of not making the college football playoff for one national championship in basketball? And for the most of the day, guys, it was running about 51-49, yes, that they would give up three years of football dominance for one college football men's basketball championship. I'm happy to report by the end of the program, people came to their senses and they decided that's blasphemy. I don't even know. That must have been Auburn fans voting in the poll, because there's not an Alabama fan alive that would give up three seasons for a basketball championship. No way.
Pat, I was already a little bit rocked by the state of Alabama's voting patterns with Senator Tuberville. This was really about to scare me.
Hey, listen, hey, between Katie Britt and Coach Tuberville being our senators, man, you never know what you're going to get up there, that's for sure.
Katie Britt looks like Daniel Webster compared to Senator Tuberville.
There's no doubt about that. She did a great job after the State of the Union, no doubt.
And I love her husband.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
So for Alabama over these past couple of games, really most of the tournament, it's been a lot of guys stepping up. Obviously, Mark Sears has been kind of the star of this team, but a couple games ago, it was Grant Nelson who stepped up. You know, Nick Pringle has stepped up and had big-time performances. I mean, what have you seen from this Alabama team? Because, you know, you see this a lot where it's, you know, when it comes to the teams playing team basketball and a different guy kind of stepping up and getting the job done, that's really the teams that find success in March. What has stood out to you about these wins over the last couple of weeks for Alabama?
It is those B players, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the second round when Mo Diabate, who had Diabate on your Alabama bingo card, you know, he came off the bench and he was highly successful, leading them to a victory. And then, of course, the Sweet 16, you mentioned Grant Nelson. Grant Nelson was the big pickup in the transfer portal last year. And let's just be honest, during the regular season, he went MIA for most of the season, but he showed up big against North Carolina. And then you had Jaren Stevenson. Great story with Stevenson. Stevenson reclassified. He's supposed to be going to a senior prom this year in Chapel Hill. But instead, Nate Oates was able to talk him into reclassifying, coming to Alabama, and then he nails 19 points against Clemson the other night. So they're going to need that type of support. It can't be Mark Sears all the time. Mark Sears is going to get his 21, 22, 23 points a game, but you have got to have those guys. And you mentioned Nick Pringle. He's been huge. The good news is all indications are that Reitzel is going to be back. He's been held out of the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight because of a head injury. He was their number one three-point shooter on the season. They hope to have him back in Phoenix. He's been practicing. That would be huge for them. But you're right. To me, it's those bit players. It's the guys that, you know, the six, seven guys off the rotation that's been so big for them down the stretch. Because without them, they would not be in the position they are to set a historic standard at Alabama, an area in which they've never been before.
Pat, helps, here's the Pat Ponders, helps, hurts, or no big deal. Kalen DeBoer, if Nate Oates going to the Final Four, of course, winning it, people will be, you know, just over the moon. But even this run, a little deflection, maybe turning that pressure valve down a little bit, does it help the new coach that 0-0, hurts, or no big deal?
I think it helps tremendously because, listen, we all concentrate on football. People are still going to the open practices when they have a chance. They're still attending press conferences. We're still talking about it on the show, even though we've got the Final Four that's dominating the conversation. It is the perfect storm for Kalen DeBoer. He comes in, he gets his feet wet, he's getting acclimated to the surroundings. Listen, he's going to have enough of the magnifying glass on him once football season ends. For Alabama fans,
that ain't a magnifying glass.
Yeah, it's the Hubble telescope.
That's all the end.
That's exactly what it is. And so, you know, I think it's been good because he's able to kind of come in here and listen. The number of interviews that he has done, not only with local radio, but you see him on social media, whether it was Andy Staples, J.D. Pickell, Josh Pate, all these guys, they have been coming in and flocking into Tuscaloosa doing these sit-downs because we've never had this before because Nick Saban would do his Chris Lowe's or he'd sit down with a Herb Street or somebody like that. But for the most part, Nick just didn't do that, didn't feel like the need was there. But now Kalen DeBoer understands that, you know what, I need this relationship with these folks. I need to build some equity into this program with these relationships. And I think with basketball kind of taking some of that, you know, that highlight off of what he is trying to do with him and his staff, I think that will pay dividends for him in the long run.
What has Alabama spring football practice been like this year with the coaching change? Obviously, things going different. How's it been? What are some of the storylines that you're seeing that you're liking out of camp?
Well, so far, Jalen Milroe has fully accepted the playbook. They're excited. You think about this. I mean, they loved what they did with Michael Penix at Washington, but Penix did not run the football. And when you have an athlete like Jalen Milroe back there and you have a run-pass option and that you can do the things and you can kind of enhance that playbook that you brought to Tuscaloosa from Seattle, that just makes them salivate even more at what kind of offensive numbers that they can put up. But the thing that I've been the most impressed with in regards to the people that I talked to, whether it's players or whether it's people that's been able to be around that program during spring practice, it's the kids, not that they didn't have fun, because we all know that the fun is in the winning in Tuscaloosa, but it's the fact that the players, it always had the NFL feel when you went to Tuscaloosa, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they're playing music at practice. The coaches are cutting up, and it's this one-on-one interaction with the players that, you know, they had it with Nick Saban, but it was more businesslike, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a breath of fresh air, I should say. And the kids are really acclimating to it, and they're enjoying it. And the defense looks better than what a lot of people thought it was going to look. I do believe that they're going to be very, I guess they're going to be active pretty strong here at the end of the month in the transfer portal. They're going to be guys that's going to leave. That's just not going to mesh with the new coaching staff. It happens everywhere. But I think Alabama is going to be able to go out and pretty much get whoever they need or believe they think they're going to need for their depth on the roster management portion of things. But it looks really, really good in the spring. I know it's spring, guys, but for the turnover and for everybody claiming that the program was dead and they'd be lucky to play football in the fall, this Alabama team looks like they're going to be primed to be one of the upper echelon in the SEC.
Yeah, and it's no better time than to be 0-0, but it is off to a really good start for him. A great hire, universally endorsed as a great hire by Greg Byrne, with the consultation of Coach Nick Saban, for Kalen DeBoer. But Pat, you know it as well as anyone. You can have all the music, you have all the air of good feeling and breath of fresh air and all this fun stuff. And he's been in big games. I'm not saying he's going to be unaccustomed to that. But that feeling from Tuesday on, Georgia week, he hadn't had that big Super Bowl week in Tuscaloosa yet. That's when he'll know all week long, when he sees it building around campus. Game day will be there. Everything will be there. And that Saturday night at Bryant-Denny, that will feel like a Super Bowl.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it will be off the chain. I know he played for a national championship against Michigan in Houston, but what he's going to have in Tuscaloosa. And listen, a lot of people hope that, you know, A-Day game will be packed, and it will be, you know, 60, 70,000 people. May not be the 90 or the 100,000 that Nick Saban drew a couple times, but, you know, I think it's going to turn his head a little bit. Listen, folks were excited when Gene Stallings was hired back in 1990 and he started losing his first three games before he kind of got that thing turned around. Nick Saban was around a 500 coach his first year in Tuscaloosa. And I remember being on the radio daily and people was wondering if this guy, you know, I know he had some success at LSU, but he just left the NFL. Is he going to be able to hang here in Tuscaloosa and get this thing turned around? So it's inevitable. Folks are going to wonder. They're going to question. Let's just hope that he goes to Madison, Wisconsin, and beats Wisconsin. Because if he doesn't do that, guys, it might be a kind of a delicate situation in year one.
Yeah. Last thing for you, Pat, real quick. We're out of time. But what happens Saturday night for Alabama? Is it a close game? Can they pull the upset? What happens against UConn?
I think, guys, it is going to be inside the number. It's currently 12-point favorite for UConn. I think Alabama is going to try to get out. They're going to try to run, something that UConn doesn't do a lot of. Also, UConn not very successful shooting the three, but you know what? When you're successful everywhere else within that three-point arc, it really doesn't matter. I think Alabama is going to make this a second-half ball game, but Connecticut's got too many horses, I'm afraid. I think the Huskies will end Alabama's season on Saturday.
Second half to what minute mark? At the 8-minute TV timeout, is it a game?
I would say 10 minutes. Okay. I would like for it to be inside 8, but I think by the 10-minute mark, I think it pretty much will be, at that point, it'll be handled.
Pat, that's how we used to talk about Wooden and people playing UCLA.
Hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's crazy. But one thing's for sure, Brett, we have dusted off the Jimmy Valvano beating Phi Slamma Jamma. We have, dusted off the Raleigh Massimino beating Georgetown. I mean, we're trying to pull out every Cinderella basketball story we could find. But but this UConn team, man, you're not going to find, you know, too many holes in that armor. So maybe Alabama can strike gold.
Oh, it should be fun to watch Saturday night. But Pat, as always, thanks so much for joining us, and let's do this again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
Pat Smith from Jocks, he joins us from down in Birmingham to talk Alabama, and perfect time to talk about him with Alabama getting ready to face UConn in the Final Four.
That's a win. You get to 10-minute mark, isn't it?
Absolutely. With how UConn's been playing this entire tournament, if you're in the game in the second half, that's a massive win.
Ryan, on these airwaves, I talked about the first week or so of bowl prep for Notre Dame, the year they met Alabama in the BCS National Championship game down in Miami, and that was the Barrett Jones team, and you know they just annihilated undefeated Notre Dame team. And I said that year that Brian Kelly and that staff had to watch for and game plan for a week and realize we have no hope. There's nothing we can run. I even suggested at that time with Everett Golson maybe putting in the triple option and trying to just sneak attack them. You can't run your real stuff. That's what Saturday feels like. When Pat was saying maybe run with him, we both were shaking our head. No.
And then
don't try that.
And then he talked about the three-point shooting and said, well, I mean, when you're great at everything else, you
don't try that either.
Three-point shooting. I mean, this team, I said it yesterday. I mean, this is one of the more dominant basketball teams I've seen.
And there's no approach for them.
There's not. I mean, they can beat you in so many different ways. They can play so many different ways. They can run their offense through so many different guys that, I mean, you know.
And you can't come out and let the air out of the ball because of the shot clock.
No. And, I mean, you know, I go back to what, you know, David Cobb on Monday brought up a really good point of, you look at this team and there's no, you know, surefire first team All-American in the starting lineup, but they have just so many good pieces that they put together to make them so dominant. I mean, they're just so much fun to watch. And yeah, I mean, I don't have a good feeling for Alabama this weekend. Maybe in a little bit when we talk to
now Baltimore. They know how Notre Dame felt.
That's right. Well. They know how a lot of teams have felt when facing Alabama football. But let's go ahead and get to a break. Grizzlies, they're back in action tonight against the Bucks. We'll talk about that next on Sports Time.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, the Grizzlies, they're back in action tonight up in Milwaukee against the Bucks. I had completely forgotten earlier in the season, the last game before All-Star break, nationally televised game for the Grizzlies against the Bucks. A big win for them, probably win of the year for them, but they're now in Milwaukee tonight for a game against the Bucks. And, you know, season winding down, one of the last road games they'll play of the season. And we've said it, but I think most all of Grizzly fans are just counting down the games until we get to the off season.
Yeah, get to the finish line. No more injuries, please. No more injuries. Enough of that. And you just wonder, will Giannis go tonight?
Yeah, it's a good question. I have not seen.
And why would he?
The other. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know, but you know, he might. But I sure hope not. Well, I don't know what I hope because we, you know,
I don't either.
In the
limbo
of winning losses. So one of those weird games. Actually, I do want Giannis to play. Giannis, let's see you out there tonight.
That was the fun night of the year way back in February to beat them, and they were going for it. Remember, that was the game where that afternoon it appeared he wasn't going to play.
That's right.
And I don't know if the league called or what, but he was in there.
Yeah, I think – was there someone else that also wasn't supposed to play that either played or didn't play and instead of Giannis? Because I remember – I think it was
– I don't recall.
I think it might have been like at least two guys that were game
when I got to the building at night, he was not going then.
Yeah.
Very ever-present in the lineup.
That's right, yeah. And because that was – I remember I think Jonah Dillon. We talked about him earlier. I think he posted a picture like – you know, 30 minutes before the game of Giannis out there warming up, getting shots up and saying like, hey, looks like he's playing. And so, yeah, that was a fun night. But right now, Milwaukee, a 12.5-point favorite against the Grizzlies. I don't think it's going to be as fun tonight.
I said earlier I would take this road record next year.
Yep.
In a good year, I'd take this road record. Something else this time next year. You get to this point in the year and give me the stretch of Orlando, Detroit, Milwaukee, Detroit, and Philly. Let me play the East at this point in the year next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's just, it gets so tight in the West and all of these dominant teams all trying to win games and get in position. And we were looking at the standings for both sides earlier today. And man, I mean, it's going to be a fun run. But yeah, if you can get something like this next year, that'd be nice.
This was the point in the schedule where, you know, when you had playoff hopes, aspirations that you thought, yeah, you know, get to this point and, Lakers kind of checked out, Denver checked out, and you play these East teams, and you maybe move up a seed line. Well, best laid plans.
Yeah. A lot has changed since the start of the season, unfortunately, for the Grizzlies. But, hey, only a handful of games left, and then we'll be talking offseason. We'll be talking roster moves, who returns, who doesn't return, and the biggest thing, the NBA draft I saw most recently, it looks like most mock drafts have the Grizzlies taking Donovan Clingan, the big man from UConn, with their first pick. I think 7 right now is where they're projected. So, you know, getting a center in here. I know some people are for that. Some people would rather them not go the center route for the NBA draft and bring in someone so young that you're going to have to rely on. But it'll be interesting to see which way this front office goes.
It will be hotly debated, and it will simply be settled by performance.
Sure.
If it's clinging and he works, then that side was right. And if it doesn't, then they.
That's right.
That wasn't good.
Yeah, it's the game we play when it comes to the draft. It's all about results. And so we'll see. But certainly going to be interesting to see all the moves, everything that happens with this team, what they do with guys currently on the roster, and then what they do with that pick. Because there's still some speculation out there of the Grizzlies moving that pick and trading it away. But let's go ahead and wrap up this hour, get to a break, and when we come back, talking more SEC basketball with Blake Lovell from Southeastern 14.